Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association, coming to you again from Berlin and the 2019 European Compliance and Ethics Institute. Joining me today is Paula Davis. Paula is the director of Waypoint GRC, which is based in Manchester. Paula, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks, Adam. Nice to be here.
So we're going to talk about the issue of helpline and specifically effectiveness, getting people to call and, you know, and make sure that once they do that they're handled properly, which is really an important thing. I think, you know, as we were talking before, you were pointing out that bribery and corruption has gotten to be such a huge issue around the world. And, you know, the first step is finding out what the incidence is, hopefully before the prosecutors do. You had a couple of stats I think you shared with me about how deep the problem is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the cost to business of bribery and corruption is absolutely huge. We know the cost to society as well, of course. But there was a recent report from the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners that started to put some numbers around this. And even just from 2,000 companies that they looked at, they were already into the billions of dollars of money lost through fraud and corruption. And that's clearly the tip of the iceberg. But interestingly, what that report also found was that 50% of corruption cases were actually found through tips, through people calling hotlines, calling reporting lines. So what that says to me is if you can get your reporting hotline working well for you, then you are really going to find out about a lot of this stuff and be able to put a stop to it. So it's really worthwhile having an effective reporting hotline.
And to add to what you're saying, Drago Kos yesterday from the OECD Working Group on Corruption in his presentation talked about the number one way that FCPA cases, or just in general, corruption cases are identified is from people, organizations self-reporting. And obviously there's huge advantages in terms of potential settlements when an organization gets through the door. So we've laid out what the issue is and then the need for helplines. What have you been finding in terms of how people are getting to the helplines? Are they getting there as easily as they should be? And are they getting the kind of treatment that they should?
Well, to your point, and I'm sure like you, I follow the reports and the statistics about what kind of percentage of employees are typically reporting. And I have to say, to me, it looks low. You know, you look at these organizations and these numbers do not look big. And so I started to do a little bit of digging around into what the experience of using a reporting hotline is like. And if you look at most hotlines, they're heavily based on telephones, a call to a toll-free number from a traditional landline. And when you get through to that call, these call centers will typically handle three or four languages with the in-house staff. These languages are usually the common European ones, you know, Portuguese, German, French, English, obviously. And if any other language is required, then there's often a slightly clumsy situation of you need to hold on the line while we go get an interpreter. You then have this kind of three-way conversation. And I started to think, well, this isn't really going to be a very satisfactory experience for someone who's perhaps already nervous. They're reporting a concern about something that's perhaps quite serious, bribery and corruption. And if you look at, for example, the TI, Corruption Perceptions Index, the riskiest countries, where our businesses are at most risk of bribery and corruption. And then you layer over that the language profile of these countries, what you find is that the official languages in these countries are not supported by the typical call center. So you're going to get, let's say you're calling from Azerbaijan or you're calling from somewhere in the Middle East, English isn't your first language, you're really going to have a hard time getting your message across. And that's assuming that you can get through on the phone anyway. The other interesting thing, I think, is when we look at the penetration of mobile devices in these countries is very, very high. Everybody has a mobile phone now. I think in developing countries, we're at about 97% with mobile penetration. What people don't have is easy access to a landline that can make a free telephone call. You know, a lot of these calls from mobiles, they actually cost money. So we're asking someone to try and make a report where they won't be able to speak in their own language, and they may have to pay for the privilege.
Now, a lot of organizations have also put a web-based helpline function on their websites. Does that get us where we need to be, or is there other things that you think people can do to make it? Let's start with the accessibility, and then I want to go back to the language issue. But in terms of accessibility and making it more possible for people who, you know, are in these parts of the world where the infrastructure is really cellular, not landline-based, what's the answer?
Well, I think websites help. I think being able to do this online can help. Really, what I think the answer is do what mobiles do best and use apps. People are so familiar now with the idea of just going to an app store, downloading an app and using it. And once you're using an app, then the ease of reporting, you can leave a voice message, you can leave a text message, you can take photographs, you can attach documents. It is so simple and better even than the typical kind of website reporting. And again, when we're talking about penetration of mobile devices, just because you have a mobile capability doesn't necessarily mean that you have traditional internet access as well. So for me, mobile apps are the way to go. If what we really want to do as compliance professionals is to be the first to hear about incidents and issues in the riskiest parts of our business. The fear for me is otherwise we're only hearing from a tiny proportion of what could potentially be going wrong out there.
Now, if you do use apps, is there the way to still have the anonymity safeguards in it?
Absolutely, and I think even more so with an app. You know, it's possible to make sure that anonymity is preserved, that all the kind of metadata that would be associated with any of these reports is stripped. Just because you're using an app doesn't mean that the data is safely hosted, compliant with GDPR, compliant with all of the necessary security standards. You know, the app is simply the mechanism for getting the report as easily as possible into the system. Once it's in the system, it's absolutely safe and secure.
Okay. And then obviously with an app, you don't have the issue of the awkwardness of somebody on the phone waiting for a translator. But what would you say for, again, not everyone is going to make that leap. You know, companies have a large investment in their existing, whether it's on a website, their own call center, or using one of the third parties out there that are providing it. Are there other ways that they can make things simpler for people to reach out and then also help get around some of the language issues? I mean, is some of it just marketing that says, look, we want you to be able to come forward and maybe put as part of the thing, what are five phrases that, you know, our call center knows so that we can make this easy for you?
Yeah, absolutely. People do make a big investment in their system. And we've talked a lot about the enabling technologies, but of course the other side of this is the speak up culture. So if you can actually build confidence amongst your employees that they can report without fear of retaliation, that their report will be treated with confidentiality, taken seriously, something will be done, you will get back to them. You know, this can help to overcome some of the technical barriers. The other thing I would say is whatever kind of system you're using, hold your service provider to account. You know, mystery shop these things. If you've got employees in parts of the world where English or one of the main European languages isn't the first language, get someone to make a call. Have someone call in Russian, call in Chinese, call in Azerbaijani. Test out what the experience is like. Ask your service provider about call abandon rates. How many people are giving up because they're not getting through? And then, you know, hold them to account and see what they can do to provide a better service, because every abandoned call is potentially an issue that's going to blow up that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm. The helpline is in many ways a backstop. What you ideally would like is an environment where an employee feels comfortable talking to a supervisor or coming into someone else locally where they can raise these issues, whether it's a local compliance person or some other function, legal, HR, whatever. What's your advice for trying to help them find their way to the local person and create sort of distributed functions where people can come forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of it is the same communication tools and techniques that we were talking about, building a speak up culture, making sure people feel comfortable. But if you really want people to come to you first, to your local compliance officer, to their manager, how are you equipping those people to deal with it? So there's not just a communication campaign to the end users, there's actually an initiative that needs to be undertaken to make sure that anyone receiving concerns understands how to handle them, how to deal with them, how to protect the confidentiality and sometimes anonymity of the person doing the reporting, how to get that concern into the system and how to make sure that it's dealt with in an appropriate way. So there are two sides to that communication piece, the end user, but also the person receiving the concern.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing your perspective on this issue. I mean, trying to get people to come forward, I think, is a challenge that we've made a lot of progress, but I don't think we're there yet. And frankly, we probably never will be, because people will always be holding back one thing or another. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.